Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Cellist Olivia Hahn and violinist Kelsey Dittmeyer have been playing together since they went to Luther College a few years back. But it's only been very recently that the two have again lived in the same city, Minneapolis. It's made playing and writing together as the OK Factor that much easier.
Which is not to say that they weren't already prolific. They have released a number of CDs, including one called Live at the Lake, recorded last year at Milwaukee's South Shore Farmers Market. They were back in town last week and stopped by the Lake Effect Performance Studio, where they shared a few songs, including this one called Jack and Janie. The OK Factor, Olivia Hahn and Carla Dietmeyer in the Lake Effect recording studio. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you
for having us.
So is there actually a Jack and a Janie out there?
Not quite. Yeah, we wrote that when we were in Minneapolis 2 summers ago. We had a little stint just for the summer, and I circled every floor on the Mall of America looking for a job to pay the bills, and there was this real cute children's boutique called Janie and Jack, right? Mm-hmm. Cute little kids' shoes and the sweetest little outfits, and they called me while we were on my aunt's porch writing this tune for an interview. Anyway, I didn't end up working there, sadly, but... This song is tribute to them.
It is a song inspired by the Mall of America.
In
which
one
seems
way or another,
unlikely.
Yes.
Well, you say that was in a 3-month stint where you were both together in the Minneapolis area, and that seems like a good place to begin because you're now both at least as permanent as it gets in the Minneapolis area.
Yeah, and it's been quite the journey to get to this point. I remember we were here in studio last summer, and we kept saying, you know, someday we'll be in the same place. Someday, who knows when. I was just about to move out to Colorado when we were here last. So I just came back, you know, we just moved into our new apartment in Minneapolis like 3 weeks ago or something ridiculous from Colorado. So, yeah, we're in Minneapolis. We're really excited to be in the same place. So many new things are on the horizon for us. We're excited.
Well, and this means year-round gigs?
Yes, imagine that. We hope so. The fall is fairly busy with weddings and corporate events, other things like that. But we're really excited to be in the same place and to play.
Well, and that must have been kind of a crimp in your creative style to only be able to really be together and collaborating for a very short window.
Yeah. And what's interesting is we've had the tradition of doing a Christmas album every year. And so the last one was legitimately all iPhone recordings that we sent back and forth and mixed into this little album, which, you know, in some ways it gave us freedom to do things that we can't do live. You know, we can loop stuff, we can add on layers to tracks. But definitely, I think the element of having the opportunity to play live is what we love, what we want to be doing.
Well, and I wonder about that because you have a live CD out that was recorded here in Milwaukee, mm-hmm. actually. And I wondered how important that element or the atmosphere of live performance is in capturing maybe the spirit of your music.
I think it's super important. We're really, really happy about that album. It's called Live at the Lake. We recorded it while we played at the South Shore Farmers Market last summer. And I think yeah, it's really important to kind of capture the energy. It's just not the same when you're not in the room live with us there. And so that was something that we wanted to capture and let other listeners experience that maybe you couldn't get from our first album. So.
At the same time, when you sit down to create it, you know, there has to be kind of this not necessarily static quality to it, but, you know, it's almost like, what is the cliche, nailing Jell-O to a wall?
Oh. Yeah, nailing Jell-O to a wall, that's a good one.
It's kind of odd how we write.
How do you write? I mean, when it comes to writing an original song, besides the Mall of America, what are the kinds of things
yeah.
that inspire creativity to you?
Maybe it's not odd. I don't know. Maybe a lot of people do this. For us, it's really fragments. Everything starts out in, you know, a little piece here and there that one or the both of us have kind of come up with, and we'll get in a room together and just build off of that one little fragment until it becomes something. I don't know. I mean, we have a tune called Up in the Air that Carla wrote while she was on an airplane. I have a tune that I wrote sitting at a desk when I worked at a pool store. So,
a pool
you know,
store
you
like,
take what you can
like
get.
Billiards or like swimming?
No, like swimming.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a fun time.
Yeah, I'd say a lot of our material in the past has been born out of like being in situations where we don't necessarily want to be. And that's almost kind of how we started as a duo. You know, we were finishing up our senior year of college. And of course, we had to practice, you know, all our orchestral stuff, chamber music, you know, private lesson material. And we found ourselves in the practice room playing our original pieces more often than we should have been playing what we should have been playing. And so I think part of our journey as composers has been using the struggle of where we're not happy. I don't know. Where we wish we let's try that again.
But that's where a lot of musical creativity comes from is a sense of discontent.
Yeah, like there's a pressure. I think of like a pressure cooker, like you're pushing down on something like this is how it's supposed to be, and then ooh, pops out a song from pressure. But
and I think there are a lot of other times where it's not totally born out of like
no.
struggle and hardship. I mean, you know, there are times that we'll just sit down and write together because it's fun, you know. Carla just sent me a tune the other day, so we'll see where that takes us. But you know, that could have been born out of a new move and a new place and new faces, new people. So
well, and to go back to Jack and Janie for a minute, the song, it strikes me when I listen to it, it almost sounds like there are individual movements within that song. And I wondered if that came from your classical training or that comes from the fragmentation in the way that you write, or it just sounded right.
Yeah, actually, the first half of that tune, before it kind of picks up speed, I wrote at our very last concert at Luther College. I wrote it right before we went out on stage to play with the orchestra one last time, and I never really did anything with it, and then we just decided to pair it with this sort of more rambunctious fiddle tune. So
the transition from something slow into something fast, it gives it personality, and it allows it to have more of a storyline than maybe if it was something, you know, super fast all the way through. We've had audience members come up to us who have created stories in their mind of this Jack and this Janie. And I think someone said that they were thinking of the Jack and Jill and how Janie was like the third jealous girl and there was pushing down the hill. And I don't know. But yeah.
If only they had been at the Mall of America.
If only.
Right.
Now, I think you have something you were going to play for us that you actually recorded as part of your Live from the Lake EP.
Yeah. So we'll do one. It's not our own. It's not an original piece, but it's a cover of a Beatles tune, Here Comes the Sun. It was especially appropriate last summer when we played it because the weather had been kind of crummy, and we got on stage to play, and of course the clouds broke open and the sun showed through, and it was perfect.
Very picturesque.
So, yes. So here's Here Comes the Sun.
Thank you.
The OK Factor and a familiar song, Here Comes the Sun, of course, the Beatles tune. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see any limitation at all in the kind of feeling or the kind of emotion you can get from just these two instruments?
Hmm. That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
I think we've thought about that on and off. Occasionally, we are joined by a banjo and bouzouki player, a really good friend from college, and we love, love, love when he joins us. It just adds another element. You know, we do lack rhythm. We don't have technically a rhythm instrument with us, no percussion.
Which is not to say that you can't accomplish a form of percussion on at least the cello.
Right. Yeah, we do what we can.
I've thought about it both ways, and I've heard, you know, mixed reviews about, you know, both sides, whether we're playing with Ayler, our banjo bouzouki friend, or not. And I think it just, you know, part of it depends on the audience, part of it depends on the venue. And, you know, if we're in like a concert hall or something, it's great to have an extra instrument because of the depth of the chords and, you know, the rhythmic changes and all that kind of stuff. When we're at a state fair, when we're at, you know, like the farmer's market or something like that, the two of us, we do just fine. I don't know. I think we struggle with, you know, should we add an extra player? Do we really want to have that? Because, I mean, our vibe, just the two of us, I think really, you know, speaks volumes about the kind of music we want to play and who we are as people. So
I think the other thing, too, is that I don't mean this to sound any sort of way, but it's just kind of effortless. The way that we write together, things just sort of happen, just kind of organically comes together, which we're really grateful for and very lucky to have that kind of chemistry. And so I think the other thing we consider is if we're going to have somebody else, how do we kind of let go of some of that and allow somebody in?
Well, and people can't see this on the radio, but the two of you, you know, occasionally make eye contact as you're playing together. And I wonder if, you know, you've gotten to the point where, you know, you're just really able to read each other's expressions or read each other's instruments and mm-hmm. be able to anticipate what's coming next.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. You know, as we've been touring and playing together more, it's just so much easier to be able to do that. And, you know, we can, with one look, I know exactly what she's thinking, whether she's pissed off or happy about how something went. Or if one of us forgets something, we know that look, too. Like, where are we? What's
deer
happening
in the headlights.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, I think we read each other really well musically and telepathically.
When you sat down and decided that you were going to form this musical partnership, do you feel like, did you have to make things up as you were going along? I mean, you can be in school together and you can study technique and you can study performance, but is there anything that really prepares you for pursuing this as an independent enterprise?
For the music side of it, yes. We're really adamant. We do clinics and workshops with young students. We've done some at colleges, and kind of what we preach is that we couldn't do the kind of music that we write, we couldn't do the technique-wise what we do without our classical background. We both started when we were 4 and 5 years old. And so having studied classically all the way through and really kind of gaining our chops, which of course you never totally gain, we're still working, but we couldn't do what we do without that foundation. On the other hand, when you do kind of break off and start doing your own thing, there's a whole business side of things that can get really tricky, and at least I haven't felt like anything has really prepared me to take that on, yeah, fully.
Right, there's not a college class in planning a tour, is there?
Not where we went, no.
No, there's not. Yeah, I think a lot of what has driven us to do this is just passion for it. And I remember after our very first concert, I went up to her dorm room and I was like, I was fidgety. I was like, can we just do this? Like, is this just something that we could do? And I made her sit down with me at a coffee shop and we were like planning things, like trying to figure out how we could make it work. And it hasn't panned out to the level that we want it to be until, you know, now when we're in the same place and we can, you know, grow from here. But I think it's a lot of DIY. It's a lot of trial and error. It's a lot of finding out what works and what doesn't, and reading blogs, which I like to do, and talking with other musicians, definitely, you know, making connections and friends and all that. So,
but as a duo, I think we just want to play. We just want to play. But now, again, now that we're in the same place, we're starting to take that more seriously and say, okay, well, what does just playing mean? What are our goals? And we have a lot of them. And so it's going to be, again, a lot of trial and error, a lot of figuring out priorities, you know, what is top of our list. You know, we've talked about writing for movie scores, and we've talked about publishing is a huge goal of ours. None of our stuff is written down. It's all from memory, and so that's a huge goal of ours is to actually dictate what we're doing.
We'd love to do, like, you know, the performing arts circuit for colleges or for, you know, local community performing arts centers, college campuses, you know, with the opportunity to work with those students, you know, on technique, you know,
it's
stuff.
It's like master classes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
we'd love to travel.
Yes, abroad.
Yeah, a lot of what we do, people have said, and I think it's true, you know, it's Irish influenced.
And see, I was listening to it and I thought this is almost quintessentially American.
Really?
I mean, just, yeah. I mean,
see, most of what we played today, I guess, has been. But there are some, you know, we'll implement traditional folk tunes and melodies into some of our arrangements. And so we just love to go study. I mean, we've never studied that kind of music. It'd be awesome to go there. And I suppose you don't have to travel to do that. Minneapolis has a great Center for Irish Music where we could learn a whole lot. But we'd love to travel and travel the world and listen to different genres and really learn from the best. So.
Well, I will be rooting for you, and I know a lot of other people will be as well. Olivia and Carla, thank you so much.
Thanks.
And best of luck.
Thank you very much.
And what are you going to play us out with?
We're going to do a tune called Dirty Water. This is on our Live at the Lake album as well. It's a mixture of the traditional spiritual Wade in the Water paired with an original tune that Olivia wrote. So we muddied it up a bit is our joke. Dirty Water.
The OK Factor is cellist Olivia Hahn and violin player and Waukesha native Carla Dietmeyer. They are based in the Twin Cities, but were in Wisconsin last week for concerts in Milwaukee and Watertown. Our interview and performance was engineered by John Strelecki, and you'll find all three songs they played, plus a video at WUWM.com. Thank you.